Welcome back to another episode of the What Everybody Podcast. Episode 91 is upon us, and so is the holiday season. So from the What Everybody Podcast to you and your families, have a happy holidays. With that being said, we have a lot of great topics today, too much to talk about here. So why don't you sit back, grab yourself an eggnog, spike the thing you should, and enjoy the show. So with no further ado, Ryan and Johnny.
Hey, Johnny.
Hello, Ryan. Welcome back to another episode of the What Everybody Podcast. Here we are, episode 91.
Yep. Last episode of the year, dude. Last episode of 2023.
God, dude, think about this shit. Think about how quick this year's gone. Just think about that. I can't even believe we're still friends since we started this thing in May of 2020.
I can't believe it either.
It's amazing.
If I'm being honest and not joking, I can't believe it either, dickhead.
Wow.
Merry Christmas. Wow. Merry Christmas.
Well, what about Happy Hanukkah? You missed it.
Happy Hanukkah. What do you celebrate? Do you celebrate anything?
Well, I mean, technically speaking, I celebrate Hanukkah. I'm not, I'm Jewish.
I understand that, but you also don't seem, do you celebrate it? Do you participate?
Well, to be honest with you, I went to go see my mom this year.
Oh, cool. How you did? When did you do that?
Last week, I just
buddy, we don't talk.
It was like in between. I just took off for like 3 days. I got on a red eye on Monday night, and I was back Friday night. And it's great, dude. This is what I did.
Holidays. Did you celebrate?
I made sure to get my layover in Philadelphia. Originally, my plan was to leave the airport because I had 3.5 hours and go to Pat's Steaks. But I thought to myself, why leave the airport and go to Pat's Steaks? 24 hours they're open. When there's a Jim Steaks, a Geno Steaks, a Tony Luke Steaks, they're all in the airport.
Did you go to Geno's?
Dude, I went to Geno's.
Did you betray Pat's?
Well, they didn't have
Pat's. You betrayed Pat's. Yeah, but you betrayed, you can't.
Hold on. Stop.
So the classic debate is Pat's versus Geno's.
Stop.
Yes. Okay.
It just reconfirmed why I like Pat's. Because I was like, I'll get Geno's. Then I got Geno's. I'm like, this is exactly why I like Pat's. Because Geno's just isn't the same.
You were disappointed.
As everyone else, man.
So you were disappointed.
Geno's. Yeah, but then I went to Jim's.
You flew to Philadelphia to be disappointed.
They had Jim's in the airport, so I got a Jim's too.
Nice.
I took half of each sandwich to Florida with me in my backpack from Philadelphia.
So you stopped at Pat's. You went LA to Philadelphia to Florida?
Yeah, it makes no sense.
How did you? Well, it makes no sense, but I mean, how did you even plan that? Was it just
I didn't do that on purpose. My options were like North Carolina or Philly because that was where the cheapest flights were. So I was like, fucking Philly. And then there was two options, a 40-minute layover or a 3-hour layover. I'm like, 3-hour layover. I'll go to fucking Pat's. And then I was like, it costs too much money. And who wants to go through security again? Fuck all that.
I see a 40-minute layover and my knee-jerk reaction is, oh, quick. And then I think about it for 2 minutes and I'm like, oh, well, I'm for sure going to miss that connector.
Yeah, because you always, like booking those flights to Europe, you'll see that.
Yeah.
You're like, dude, an hour layover at Heathrow, and you're like, you know what?
Not
there's no
happen.
Chance. No chance.
Happen. Remember the passport incident where I had to do all that, and I had to meet up with you guys. I had to fly by myself. Well, my layover was at Heathrow going to Stockholm, and I had an hour, and we were landing, and I had about 45 minutes when the plane's on the ground. I had about 45 minutes and I looked at the flight attendant and I showed him my ticket. And I was like, do you know anything about this gate? Just like try to like give me a direction or something.
Well, you
got to
go through immigration. You got to go fucking all that crap. It's like
the guy looked at my ticket and look on his face. I was like, I'm not going to make it, am I? He goes, you can run.
Yeah, because you got to go through immigration. And all. If it was just like gate to gate, like America, if you're just doing that like on a domestic flight, you could pull that off. In Philly or something, if you had that, you just run and you'd make it. But you'd run to the immigration, and they'd be like, "Yep, you missed it."
Yeah, they booked me on the next one. It was actually, I mean, like it was inconvenient on that day, but in hindsight, it's like whatever. Fixing them hairs.
The worst hair day. It's the worst hair day. Like, I woke up. I ate breakfast. I got up real early this morning and ate a shit ton of bad breakfast as usual. Fell back asleep. Woke up. I had a meeting at noon, and I was like, I have 15 minutes to take a shower, and I was like, fuck it, I ain't gonna take a shower. So I got really bad hair day. I haven't showered in a few days.
For what it's worth, you look the same to me. I don't think the people are going to notice a different appearance from you.
I'll tell you what, man. I listened to our podcast the other day. The audio version, and that's how I normally do podcasts, is the audio version. I don't watch podcasts. Every time I watch our podcast, I end up turning it off halfway through because I think I get too distracted with looking at myself, and it's bad. So then I listened to it the other day.
It's a bit self-centered. Do you look at me at all?
Well, dude, I have this problem. I can't watch any videos that I'm part of and not look at myself. And I'm not, you know what? You can try to make fun of me. Normal. I don't think I'm alone here. I don't think I'm alone.
Normal. I think that's normal.
I think that's totally normal.
So when I watch music, when I watch like band, I'll let you finish your story. I know I'm the interrupter today, but like when I watch music footage, like, I watch myself.
I thought you were going to let me finish.
I'm also entertaining. So go ahead. Finish. You're saying.
So I listened to it the other day and I found it more enjoyable just to listen to us than to, cause like by just listening to it, I actually got to hear the things we were saying. Right now I'm too busy looking at your Sweden Rock poster. That's all I do is look at that Sweden Rock poster.
Yeah. I'm representing Sweden Rock today, dude. I got my hat on too. See, if you're on the videos, I got my Sweden Rock beanie on. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. I represent. Yeah. I represent.
Nice. Anyways, that's all I got.
Well, thanks for the podcast. See you in 2024.
Did we say hello to the people? Hello, everybody. I think
we said hello, John. We said hello. We said hello.
We're good.
I'm good, man. We got to build this ship, you know?
Yeah.
We got to build this ship.
Shipbuilding.
And by ship, I'm using that as a metaphor to say in 2024, let's take this podcast to the next level. What do you say? Personal challenge to you.
I love it. You know, speaking of ships, I watched a documentary this morning on that submersive that blew up on the way down to the Titanic.
Oh, you're going back to that, huh? Okay.
Well, I just watched it this morning, and you mentioned ships, so I thought of it.
Is there new information, or is it all pretty much wrapped up?
Well, dude, I'll tell you the one thing, and I think we probably
not being insensitive.
Well, be insensitive because these people chose to do this. Bottom line is the guy who designed that thing and owned that company who died on the submersible. Yeah. He's the reason they're all dead. There was warning after warning after warning to this guy that this thing it's going to blow up. You're going to kill people. He even said at one point in a letter, an email to somebody they showed in this documentary that he acknowledged, if you're another person that's going to tell me that I'm going to kill somebody, then I find that to be so insulting. He wrote that in an email. He blew up a narcissistic, man.
Narcissistic. Better word.
This fucking
guy. Did they have any test runs with that thing?
They did a whole bunch, and like things that didn't come up were like, after like 17 uses of it, cracks started to appear and shit like that. Like there were flags everywhere that said, do not get on there. Then they interviewed this father and son that were offered to go on this, and they turned it down after doing a bunch of research and meeting with the guy. They turned it down, and they asked them, what did you think when you saw that it blew up and that you saw there was a different father and son combo on there?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, all I could think of, like, that could have been me. He'd even say, I felt bad for them. He goes, I just talk about narcissistic. He's like, I could have thought about was that could have been me.
I bet that guy watches himself in videos too, you know?
Well, yeah. It's because you watch yourself. You know, I like to think I'm not narcissistic.
I wonder what that feels like to have an opportunity, you turn it down, and then you are aware
you would have been dead.
Yeah, you would have been dead.
Like, you waited. Like, you weighed the opportunity out, like, really thought about it. Like, you were like going to go, potentially.
That's got to, like, kind of give you you appreciate your day a little bit more or something. I don't know. It's got to happen.
Or if you're narcissistic, you're like, yep, I knew I was right.
I knew I was right. Another score for the team. Yeah. Okay, I got a dark question for you.
I love them.
There has been a moment in your life that was the closest you've come to death. You know what I mean? Like, and it doesn't have to be extreme. It's just like that you're unaware of. Like, maybe you had a near miss in traffic or something like that. Or maybe if you would have left 20 seconds later or something like that.
I think about that shit all the time. I think about that shit all the time.
Because like that guy is aware that was the closest he came to death, likely, right? He turned down going on the submersive.
In most cases, I bet we don't even know that we're that close to death.
Most cases you don't know. I mean, like, right. if you have an illness and you beat it or something like that, that was your closest to it. But like, hopefully that doesn't happen, you know. But like, I think about it all the time in the car, dude. Sometimes somebody will be in front of me and I'll be like impatient and wanting to get around them or whatever. And then I'll think like, maybe that guy's in front of you for a reason. maybe I'm not meant to be 20 seconds down the road. You know? It's crazy.
I mean, it's pretty dark shit because that got me thinking, like, how many times have we been that close to death and not just not known it?
Or how many times have you been in line at the grocery store and there was a murderer behind you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean,
I'm ending the year on a dark note. We should change it. We should turn around.
Didn't we end the last episode on a dark note too? Serial killers.
Well, you brought up serial killers. Yeah. So I guess I'm no better than I was like, wow, Johnny, thanks for bringing up that dark note. And then I just,
let's go positive. The favor. Last night I'm texting with Harris last night and Harris says to me, hey, bring a topic better than yum yums. It's like, what the fuck kind of blow is that, bitch?
I'm trying to build this shit. I'm trying to grow this podcast, and we're not going to grow it by you talking about yum-yums every week. Here we are talking about yum-yums.
Well, no, we're not talking about yum-yums. We're talking about 7-Eleven donuts today.
This guy. I tell you what, dude. You're lucky I'm not in the same room, you Dell.
So what do you got for me? What do you got?
So I was reading this article about greedy venues. The article is about, you know, that band Falling in Reverse.
I just read that about how they were like, fuck you, because they're taking like 25% of their merch sales.
They were
going to
take the Armory
20.
X in Minneapolis was going to take 25% of their merch.
And they usually take 20, right? Because every venue,
the article said 25%. Now, hear me out.
No, real quick. Isn't that normal though? Because every tour I've been in, going all the way back to 05 with CKY, they were taking, I want to say 20%, all the bigger venues.
That was the whole point of it though, dude. Like, the whole point of how a venue can take 25% of your merch. They don't own your band name. They don't print your merch. They don't set up your merch. They have nothing to do with your merch.
But they give you the venue to sell it.
But they give you the venue. Now, this place, I toured with Falling in Reverse a couple of years back. And
didn't you play with them, like in the band?
No, I opened. I was in an opening band for them.
Oh, well, you were Toka.
Yeah. They were super nice to me. So zero should talk, but I will say they run their tour the way they want to run their tour. Meaning, like, there's no bullshit.
Give me an example.
No alcohol. If you had alcohol in your dressing room or whatever, you're off the tour.
Really? Why was that?
Because their singer's a sober guy and we respected it. Cool. It's his tour. You know, there was a band that showed up late one time and thought that they were going to get their full set time. They cut their set. It's supposed to be off. I think call it 9 p.m. or whatever. It's like, well, if you're starting at 8:20 and you show up and you don't start until 8:35, well, guess what? You have a 25-minute set. Like it was that kind of like regimen. So when I heard him say, all right, just don't sell merch. I kind of like followed. Anyway, the point, the capacity of this venue is 8,400 people. So it's a big venue. And do the math. Say half the people there buy merch. Say,
well, just say on an average,
2,200 people.
Just say $10 on merch. On average, 8,500 people, $10 a head average. Just say that on average. Just
that's, I mean, what are you going to buy?
That's $85,000.
Yeah. So 25% of that is a lot of money that you're just giving to the venue. You know what I mean?
That would be $21,050 or something like that.
Yeah. And then it got me thinking about the streaming. Because that article mentioned streaming.
Dude, that streaming thing is so fucked. That is so fucked.
Their singer.
So fucked.
Yeah. There's the singer Ronnie in this article about the Falling in Reverse.
Was he from Escape the Fate or something, right?
Yes. He was.
Because he got a lot of trouble and arrested and went to jail and all sorts of shit.
Yeah. Well, and he got out of jail and he was a sober guy. And that's why, like, whenever you were at, like, the alcohol thing and everything, like, he's on a good path. But, you know, he mentioned in the article, streaming gives you 0.003 cents for one stream. Venues are taking 25% of your merch, taxed on.
If you signed a 360 deal, you're fucked because now the label's taking merch and all that shit too.
And the hypothetical was, well, what's stopping them from charging to 80%? He mentions like bands have to stick together. Bands have to put their foot down and not allow this to happen. You know, his band is on a bit higher of a platform. You know, they're playing 8,500 capacity and up venues. So, you know, one night of not selling merch doesn't. You all right there?
I'm trying not to cough.
You're such a distractor. You're such a distractor, dude. Talking about a topic, and you're not. I know you're not even. What was the last thing I just said?
That they're on the higher echelon of things, selling 8,500 tickets a night.
Yeah, yeah, but I do agree with. I do agree.
In your face.
Okay, what'd I say before that?
That between the streams and the merch, they're taking a shit ton of money. Here's what I got to say to that. Check this out.
It's making it harder and harder for bands to just get.
Well, you know what it is, dude? It's greed. People.
Greed, yeah.
Think about 100%. What makes it even worse is this. This is what will infuriate you even more. The people making the most money out of it, the venues, the streaming services, the labels, not one of these motherfuckers can probably even write a song. They have not an artistic bone in their fucking body. They just know how to rip people off. And they rip off the vulnerable because us artists, all we want to do is have a career. So we do whatever, we take whatever, and we eat shit more than we probably ever should for the sole fact that if we don't, there's a band behind us that will.
That will, yeah. If you put a song on Spotify and it gets 1 million streams, do you know what that yields?
Dude, I'll tell you this. I don't know what that yields, but I'll tell you this.
I'll tell you what it yields. $3,000 to $5,000 for 1 million streams.
Well, I remember doing the math on 0.0004 of a penny.
Yeah.
For the top two songs for Bullets and Octane combined had like 7 or 8 million. I don't know. It was a crazy amount of fucking plays. It was the same song though. And it generated, when I did the math, and it was on four, not three, it came to $16,000.
Yeah.
You know, now I don't know if this is a real legit quote or a stat, shall I say. But from my understanding, back in the days when radio mattered and you would get spun on the radio, I was told at some point down the line that you got a quarter for every time you heard a song on the radio. So back in the 90s, when you heard like Jeremy from Pearl Jam nonstop, so much so that it made me not like the band Pearl Jam anymore. And it's on every radio station in the world 10 times a day. Think about the amount of money made just on airplay.
I feel like I heard that before because I used to tell a joke whenever I would, when Cherry Monroe was a thing, I'd get texts like, oh, I'm at Applebee's. I just heard your song, or oh, I'm at the mall, or whatever. And I'd always reply with the same thing, be like, thanks, you just earned me a quarter.
Well, now you're not even throwing me a penny.
Yeah, thanks for the 0.003.
Of a penny. Of a penny.
So
dude,
whenever
and
somebody-
this asshole, the owner of Spotify, mm-hmm. fucking makes, he's worth over $1 billion off of everybody else's work. It's crazy.
How did streaming become a thing? Because like they shut down Napster, they shut down like
Dude, that's
Wire.
Where they fucked up. That's where they all fucked up. Everybody fucked up. Lars Ulrich, God bless you. Your intentions were good, but you fucked us. Mm-hmm. Because the reality is that's at that point in time, they should have merged with this streaming shit and made it happen. Instead, they waited. The fucking old time dinosaur guys in this business were like, no way is this going to take over while they're still living in their goddamn mansions in the hills. And they waited to the last possible minute. We're like, if we don't fucking jump ship now and jump onto what's going, we're screwed. And that's what they did. And they did that in like, what,
so
like 08, 09?
Can you clarify that for me? Because I don't really follow how streaming merging with Napster would have been better.
By doing that, they've now become partners with Napster. Not doing that is essentially creating a war with the streaming people, because now they're like, fuck you, you can't stop us anyway. And people didn't like that the rich fucking label people are sitting there, the guys who have all the fucking money are sitting there fucking people and suing people. People are getting arrested for downloading songs off the internet, okay? Like Metallica got so much backlash. He's like, it's sort of like, I get it, Lars, but you're a rich guy saying this. It would be different if the dudes from the Ramones were saying it, because those guys never made any fucking money in this business until the end when they were like legends. But up until like they were legends, they got screwed along the way. But here's Metallica fucking got all the money in the fucking world complaining about fucking some kid who can't afford to buy your album downloading your goddamn album.
Yeah, but just because they're successful doesn't mean he's not right.
I'm not saying he's wrong, but his stance was fucked. He should have had a more like, I see what you're saying. Let's figure it out. If you guys are going to download it, okay, cool. People getting arrested and shit for that, that's fucked up. Come on, give me a fucking break.
Whenever Apple Music was iTunes, I remember before it was a subscription, it changed to Apple Music, now it's a subscription, but when it was iTunes, you could download a single for 99 cents. If you had a million single downloads when it was iTunes, did that yield
$1 million? We got paid for it because I was on the platform with that, the Knives Records, and same with Cherry Monroe would have been at that time too.
I know. But I'm saying, did it equate as 99 cents going to the artist?
I don't think so, because there was the cut from whatever, you know, like my shit was with a label. I don't know what the breakdown was, but from my understanding, when you sold an album for $10 in the store, you were only getting paid on $6 of that because they were sold at wholesale for $6. So I think you made more money when they bought the album online on the Apple. You know, like with Tour Supply, you buy Tour Supply like you're a record store buying it. But the cool thing about buying Tour Supply from a label is you buy it, but then you get back the money you would have gotten back if a record store would have bought it.
Yeah, for us, so they sold us our albums for $5.
Right.
And then you charge whatever you want for it, but obviously you're going to sell for more than $5.
And what you should have gotten back was the amount of money, like let's say like a record store bought your album for $5, and out of that $5, you saw three and the label saw two. You know, that's, I guess, in a licensing situation. But whatever the case is, if you guys were getting paid for your records sold, then you should have gotten money back from all the records you guys bought, too. Because you bought the records for wholesale. You didn't buy them for, like, you know.
Correct.
So
it's crazy to me that, like, art is free.
Can we go back to the venue stuff? Because that's a fascinating thing. Let's say you get a band like Falling in Reverse, who already... is getting paid a large guarantee, probably. But the large guarantee is not coming from the venue. The venue is being rented out by the promoter, okay? So the venue's already getting paid a lump sum. They're just double dipping now.
Yes.
That's what makes it really fucked up. It's like, listen, you already got your fucking money to give us the area to sell the merch. Why are you taking a piece of that?
That was in that article. One of the comments was, well, the venue says that they need to charge off of merch so they could pay their employees. And the reply, he had some solid points. It's a good article. I'll link it in the description if you want. Well, he says, well, that just doesn't make sense because your employees would be rich then. If you're charging every band that comes in here 25% of their merch,
right?
You're getting 25% of merch every night for almost 10,000.
Dude, but the thing about this, they also took 25% from every band opening too.
Yeah. It's just greed.
That's fucked.
It's just greed.
Why 25%? Like, I think it's 20% is the standard. They shouldn't be getting anything. They shouldn't be getting 20% anything.
Why is 20% the standard? What, like name one thing on this planet that you take 20% of as a tax.
Taxes. It's like mob shit. I mean,
you win the lottery. They charge, I think it's like 40%, you know. So you're getting up into like lottery type digit taxes.
Well, some might think that if you're a band that can sell 8,000 seats a night, you might have hit the lottery.
Yeah, but don't go back to the Metallica rule, man. Just because you're successful doesn't mean you're not like entitled to fair treatment.
Well, listen.
You think the Rolling Stones are giving 20% of their merch? Doubt it.
Well, no, it's reversed. Rolling Stones are probably getting 20% of their concessions.
They are, because, okay, this is bro science here. I'm not certain of this, but I went to see them and my brother went and bought two beers and the beers were like, I forget the math, call it $20 a piece. And they were listed on the menu at $14. And my brother's like, well, how come it says 14, you're charging 20. And the reply was, well, that's Rolling Stones cost. So does that mean that they're getting
that bump up? No, the Stones didn't inflate the price. They didn't inflate the price. What happened was they were like, we're not going to give them $6 of our fucking, of every beer we sell. We're just going to add that $6 to the 20 or to the 14. Yeah. That's what happened. They're like, we're still getting our 14. Fuck that. They're going to look like the assholes here.
And that's what's going to happen with the merch situation too, because like a band that is getting taxed 25% from a venue, well, now they're just going to raise their merch prices. So the customer is going to end up paying more. That kid,
overspent
on the ticket.
I'll tell you what.
Dude, and then you know what? They have those processing fees now too. So the person that's getting screwed is the person going to the concert, because you buy your ticket, our Roxy show, $25 ticket with an $11 service fee. So where's that service fee go? You know, I mean, I know Roxy. I know. I'm just saying, like, I don't remember it ever being like
so
that.
So then why do they advertise tickets like that? Why don't they at least be upfront about it? Why not just say, hey, listen, the ticket costs $36.50.
Right.
Or whatever the fucking cost. Yeah. Why were the tickets so expensive, man? That's you guys. I'm amazed. You guys, God bless you guys for being able to fucking kill it. But man, like setting yourself up to like fucking give yourselves a fucking shingles at an early age.
You know? It was aggressive. Yeah. Anyways,
back to what we were saying. Yeah. So did they not sell merch at the show? Is that what ended up happening with Falling in Reverse? Did he opt not to sell merch?
Yeah, he went on the radio and he was like, I'd like to thank the radio station for being super supportive. I'd like to thank the fans for being awesome. F the venue. Sorry we couldn't sell our merch.
I would have just
like, I'll never play there again or something to the effect.
No, I would have been, you know, if he was smart, what he should have been like, hey, our tour bus is one block down the street. We have the merch booth set up at the tour bus. Come on down.
There's a thought. You allowed to do that?
Who gives a fuck?
Dude, that'd be a madhouse. You imagine 9,000 people coming up to your tour bus?
Yeah. Come see us at the tour bus if you want to buy some merch.
Yeah.
And then if they say anything, be like, listen, you didn't say anything about fucking selling it in the parking lot. Suck a dick.
Isn't it illegal? I thought when I was younger, okay, I'm going to stop stuttering for a second. I thought it was illegal to sell bootleg merch.
It is. It is.
Then how does a Hollywood Bowl get away with what it does?
I've never been. What is it we're talking about?
It's just the entire walk up Highland or walk back when you're leaving. There's like people with T-shirts selling them for $10.
Hollywood Bowl has nothing to do with it. They don't give a fuck.
I'm not blaming the
band. The band gives a fuck, and in order to do that, they send people out there. And don't think just because you don't see it doesn't mean people aren't getting busted out there for selling that shit. They just can't bust everybody. The key is it's like a drug dealer.
Crazy.
You fucking try to take out a couple of dudes. You get a couple of dudes talking, you know? You'll never eliminate that. That's like a thing that's been a fucking thing going on forever. And you know what? Some of those shirts are cooler, but you know what always sucks? Anytime I ever gotten one of those bootlegs is the print goes after a while.
Yeah.
Not good made shirts.
Well, I mean, they're cheaper for a reason, but I just was wondering how they don't get busted. I guess maybe they do, but...
They do get busted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, think about this stuff. Like, Grateful Dead's coming to town, right? Mm-hmm. They have these, like, fucking neighborhoods in the parking lots. Like, it's just people,
it's
like,
crazy.
You know, with, like, nitrous tanks and drugs.
Dude, I went to see Fish. Now, first of all, I apologize for that.
When was that? When did you do that? I've seen Fish three times.
It was in the spring. I didn't.
Oh, this year? You went this year?
Yeah.
Oh, well, why didn't you invite me?
I was invited. I didn't.
Who invited you to that?
My friend Rowan. She's like, I have an extra ticket and I don't want to go by myself.
Pittsburgh or LA?
It was the Hollywood Bowl. Let me tell my story. Oh. So I went to see Fish.
I'm just fascinated you saw Fish. I almost bought Fish food Ben and Jerry's last night. Fucking great.
You're such an interrupter. You just can't let people talk.
I'm just adding to your story. That's
all. You're not adding to my story, Johnny, because you were talking about the Grateful Dead, and I wanted to say that I went to see Fish, and I wanted to apologize to anybody that wants to make fun of me for going to see Fish. But no, we're walking in, and they were selling those nitrous balloons, and I didn't realize nitrous wasn't illegal. I thought it was. I'm just like, dude, how are these people not getting busted?
People were getting arrested for that, though, back in the day for selling nitrous balloons. They're not illegal, but...
I've never seen so many drugs. No, it's not my... Hell no. I'm going to buy a balloon. I'm going to buy a balloon off a stranger in a parking lot and ingest it into my system.
Fuck yeah. That's rock and roll.
That's rock and roll. You ain't cool until you die in a parking lot.
Yeah, okay, too. So,
it was just like the actual show. It was they sold like two or three nights out. Like credit to them, I didn't get it, but credit to them. But it was just a cloud over the entire crowd. Never saw so many drugs in one place in my entire life.
What other drugs you see?
This dude in front of me had like, he's like drinking beers, and then like him and his friend, they're like holding this little baggie open and they're eating mushrooms. They were like actual mushrooms. And then like he had a nitrous balloon. I'm just like,
pulls out a bag of Coke. He pulls it, doing lines, yeah, dude,
smoking pot and everything.
Just it's shoving like, him so up his nose because he doesn't have
mushrooms. You did mushrooms, you're smoking pot, you're huffing a balloon, and you're drinking beer. Like, that's a lot to put in your...
Sounds like a party to me.
Hey, so I got this I know I sound lame. Whatever.
Listen, fish versus dead. I've seen fish three times back in the day, like a long time ago, 90s stuff. Because I had friends who were like
I shouldn't be
deadheads and shit.
Yeah, that you like. I shouldn't be surprised you like them.
What's that?
I said, I shouldn't be surprised you like them because you kind of like quirky type music.
I do, but I like I prefer more like Ween kind of quirky, not fish. Mm-hmm. But the fish dead debate, I will say that I like fish better because I feel like their songs are just better. I don't like any of the jam band shit, dude. I'm not a big jam band guy. I want a good 3 to 4 minute song that's just got hooks. I love that shit.
My summation of that show was take 3 minutes of a basic average song, jam for 17 minutes, and then come back to that, finish up that 3 minute.
And everybody basic, doing the same stupid song. Fucking dance. 20,000 people doing like, the same stupid fucking dance.
Whatever, this like Fraggle Rock kind of like. I just didn't get it, dude. It wasn't my thing. The lights were cool. Makes no the lights sense. Were great. The lighting.
Yeah,
the lighting
it's because everybody's awesome. On drugs and they know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're probably on drugs.
You know what? Actually, like, I did have the thought, like, if they have the mental wherewithal, I'll call it, to design their lighting show around the knowledge that people in the crowd are going to be on drugs and respond to that, that's a level of genius.
Those dudes were stoked. They, you know, there was a whole movement in the early 90s of the jam band thing, but the dead, you know, had been doing it for years. When Jerry Garcia died in 94, Fish was in the perfect place to just take over the dead crowd and fill that void of the traveling circus. Cause that's, and they did it for years until like their own drug addictions. The singer got all caught up in like, from my understanding, heroin or whatever. And the band took a break for a long time. And then they did like Oysterhead was a band.
Oysterhead was cool, dude. I remember watching them on Reaver. Remember Reaver?
Dude, Les Claypool, Stuart Copeland and Trey from Fish. Fish didn't annoy me except for the jam part stuff. And in all due respect, all those people doing that weird, like whatever Fraggle Rock dance, like listen, bros and girls, maybe we shouldn't all do the same dance.
You know, I'm doing something wrong, man, with life. I take life too seriously. I see these people that just like follow a band around. It's like their life is just following that band. I mean, I don't know how they pay for it.
A lot of them make money at these things. They show up, they're there for 3 days. That, you know, when the band's on tour, the band's in one city for like 2-3 days. They set up these little cities outside that set up like 2 or 3 days beforehand. And like they make foods, they make clothing, they sell this stuff, and that's how they, at least that's how the Deadheads did it. I imagine it's the same for Fish.
You can buy a tour ticket, right? Like if you're a fan of a band, you can buy like a pass for a tour, correct?
The whole tour?
I think you can, dude.
No, I don't think so. I've never heard of such a thing.
So then you're telling me those people are buying ticket by ticket by ticket every day.
Do you know how fast those shows sell out?
Yeah, they're successful, dude. I'm not shitting on their success.
No, but what I'm saying is those shows sell out in like an hour.
Yeah.
It would be such an injustice to offer a pass like that, because then they'd probably have 18,000 people who bought the pass and went to every show and nobody else would go. How funny would that be?
Well, I mean, they did do 3 nights, so.
I mean, and they probably sold out all 3. Actually, you know what? I think LA is like not as, I don't think the West Coast, I think the East Coast might have a more like a, I don't know. I'm sure they sold them all out, but I feel like the East Coast, I feel like that Deadhead stuff, even though it started in San Francisco, I feel like it's held up longer and better in the East Coast. Than
what makes you say that?
Because in Philly, if they had 3 shows of Fish, you wouldn't get a ticket like after an hour and a half of them being on sale. I'm pretty sure those Fish shows, if I recall, there were still tickets available for some of those shows. And that just wouldn't happen in Philly. It wouldn't be possible.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I think a big reason for that, is because a lot of these people go to multiple shows in multiple cities. And on the East Coast, the cities are a lot closer together. It's hard for somebody to go to a show in LA and then go to a show in Phoenix. That's a long ways. And that same distance, you could see seven different cities in the Northeast alone.
Yeah.
Fish, what was your favorite song? Do you remember a favorite song?
I couldn't name one of them.
Bounce Around the Room is my favorite song. It's the most popular, poppiest, biggest commercial hit.
I just didn't like it, man. Look, if you like it, I watching the show, I understood why somebody would like it. You know, I understood why they're successful, but I didn't like it. And then,
do you think Elektra Records would sign a band like that today?
I mean,
I guess if they're selling those numbers, of course, the numbers.
Yeah, that's my answer. Like, well, they're selling out the Hollywood Bowl three nights. They can sign with anyone they want.
Yeah, but I mean, like, but they got signed to Elektra after their first album. They're a band from Boston. They all went to Berkeley. That's where they met. And they did
They're fantastic musicians. They're musicians. Yeah, ridiculous. Incredible.
Right. So they did the first album, and they had like a cult following, and they sold like 40,000-50,000 copies of their album by themselves. And then
was that an independent album?
Yeah. Juanita, I think is the name of the record or so. First album's got Fee. Fee's another great song. Fee is a bonus prodigy. Anyway,
I'm watching it. I'm watching it, and I'm like, okay, these are long songs.
Yeah, and then it gets old, man, fast.
And then they're done. And then they're done, and I'm like, okay, all right, good, it's over. But like, no one's leaving. And I look at my friend, and I'm like, is that it? And she was like, that was the first act. I was like, it's another act. It's like,
yeah, you get an intermission.
I so badly had to fight not being that guy that's like, can we just leave?
That's rough. That's at that point, you're like, get me some pot. I'm getting drunk. I'm doing something, you know? I mean, those guys I listen to on Philly Sports Radio, the one dude's a big fucking Fish guy, the James Seltzer guy. He's a big Fish guy. And the other guy just doesn't know, like, he's never even seen the movie Goodfellas. So it's like he's so out of touch with, like, pop culture. And not that Goodfellas is, like, current pop culture or anything, but still. It's funny because you hear these guys talk who are big Fish heads and like, dude, I'm going to 4 Fish shows next weekend, bro. I'm fucking flying out to so-and-so. They're playing the Fillmore. Can you believe it? A small place. You know, they're freaking out. I'm like, man, why that music? Like you don't hear AC/DC fans saying that.
When was the last time you heard an AC/DC fan be like, oh yeah, man, this is my 25th show, you know?
Well, I've heard that. How many Kiss shows you see?
I guess you have. I've seen Kiss 5 or 6 times.
Yeah, but have you heard any AC/DC fan be like, dude, set 2 at show number 3 of the 1978 tour? Can you believe they play TNT? Oh my God.
When was the last time AC/DC took an intermission?
No, they get out there and they rock. I'm going to give you a fucking an hour and a half of fucking balls to your fucking face and then get out of here.
I saw AC/DC on the Black Ice tour.
Dude, I don't know if I've never seen AC/DC. I've seen so many bands. I've never seen AC/DC.
It's so good. It was so good. It was so good.
Never seen AC/DC. Wow.
It was so
good.
Have
I ever seen AC/DC?
They started the show with an animation on a screen, and it was an animation of Angus Young on a train, and he's like shoveling coal into the steam engine, you know? And again, it's a cartoon. So these two like devil girls come over to like distract him, and they start shoveling more coal. The train's speeding up, and all of a sudden it goes off the tracks. And when the train goes off the tracks, there's an explosion. The screen split, and an actual locomotive comes out with like fire coming out of the thing, and AC/DC starts. I was just like,
yeah.
Worth my ticket in the first 5 minutes.
Okay. How did Fish start?
I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you. Music started and lights turned on.
It's amazing.
Also, my recollection of AC/DC was 15 years ago.
What's Black Ice?
Black Ice was the last album they did. I believe the last album they did with Malcolm Young.
Oh wow!
It was whenever.
So do you saw Malcolm play?
Yeah, I saw OG, and they had Phil Rudd on drums, so it was like OG line. Well, besides Bon Scott, it was OG lineup.
It's amazing. I've seen Cliff Burton with Metallica. I've seen Kurt Cobain and Nirvana. I've never seen AC/DC.
Where'd you see Nirvana?
I saw them in Philly on the In Utero tour in 94.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's cool.
I probably saw him just a few months before he died, too. I think it must have been 93, I guess.
That's a good bucket list.
Yeah, I saw Cliff Burton 6 months before he died. It was Ozzy Osbourne Ultimate Sin Tour with Metallica Master of Puppets opening.
Dude, that's a show.
Yeah.
That's a show. Iron Maiden's touring in 2024. I'm going to try to. That's one of my bucket list. Iron Maiden.
I've never seen Maiden, dude. And my biggest regret in life, dude, I had tickets to Iron Maiden Somewhere in Time tour. I was a young kid. I was like, fucking, I don't even know how old. But I got scared the day of the show. It was Iron Maiden and Yngwie Malmsteen opening. And I remember thinking like, oh my God, there's going to be scary people. Like I was a real young kid. I was like, there's going to be scary people at this concert.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Well, you're probably not wrong.
So I sold my ticket because I was going with my other friends. And I sold my ticket, and then the next day they were just like, "You missed the best show ever!" And like I'm like, "God, what was I scared of?" You know, I was young. You know, what can you do? You know. On that note, I'm scared to stay on this podcast any longer. It's a good exit. It's good.
Hey everybody, I'm gonna use my Johnny U voice to say Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays.
Merry Christmas to you, Ryan Harris.
Thank you, my dude.
The way we talk, I probably won't talk to you until it's over. So
yeah, I'll see you in January sometime. That's probably cool. Just let's build this shit.
That's our New Year's resolution. Our New Year's resolution. Everybody, think of a New Year's resolution out there because it's coming up. Happy New Year's, everybody. We got 2024 coming up. It's going to be a big year for both of our bands. I have a good feeling. And
in a good year podcast. For the podcast.
Let's build this podcast. Let's make that our resolution.
I like that final sentiment for 2023.
Yeah. Everybody, thanks for joining us again on another episode. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Hanukkah to those
Hanukkah
Jewish
Christmas,
folks out
Johnny.
There.
Happy Hanukkah Christmas.
Thank you, buddy. Happy Hanukkah. Send my love to your family for the holiday season. And we'll see you next week. 91 is coming to a close, and that means 92 is going to be the first episode of 2024.
Let's build this shit, buddy. See you in 2024.
I wonder if we'll beat the amount of episodes versus Warner Drive shows. You know. Anyway, on that note, everybody, please like, subscribe, and report. And it is one of those days. And have a good rest of the year, week, and see you next time here on the What Everybody Podcast.
Well, shit, if that wasn't a fun...